Amen. Amen. I haven't preached this message in a long time, in some years. But I prayed and prayed and prayed about what to preach tonight. And, years ago, I had to go somewhere and preach. And I asked the Lord, it was a church, I think it might have been even Gloryland, Charlie Andrews Church. And I asked the Lord a question. I said, what do you preach at a church that has heard everything? And the Lord said, what I tell you to. And so I said, well, okay, Lord, ever since then, I just try to preach what he tells me to. But every once in a while, when he tells me to preach something, I kind of, in my flesh, and I do, I kind of doubt and trying to say, well, Lord, did you really tell me to preach this thing? Or, just doubt that thing there. And this is one of them nights I'm kind of doubting, because I just want to make sure that I'm in the will of God. If you will, go to Genesis chapter 14. And Genesis chapter 14, amen, Genesis chapter 14. Now, y'all going to have to bear, I may mess something up a little bit because the simple fact is I'm going to rearrange this thing a little bit. I'm not going to preach in the order that I have it written in because for some reason, Lord, lay on my heart to do a little bit differently. But in Genesis chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Ariah, king of Elazar, Shadalelamar, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and Bersha, king of Gomorrah, and Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which was Azorah. And all these are joined together in a vale of Siddim, which is the salt sea. 12 years they served Lamar, I always get that name mixed up. And the 13th year, they rebel. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, better than life. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great church. And Lord, I'm not saying that because I'm in here. I can see these people's hearts. I can see their direction. And I think it's a good church, Lord. And I think God's doing something here. And I'm just blessed just by being here. But Lord, now, Lord God, I pray for your Holy Ghost of God to get in this thing. And I pray, Lord God, that we'll get some help from heaven. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this message on the actual rebellion. We live in a day and age in these last days, especially these last days. I've said it before about last night about the Laodicean church. And the thing about it is that this world is designed for rebellion. This world is just key for rebellion. I mean, if we used to day and age, honestly, where a child, honestly, would not tell their parents what they're going to do. I used to live in a day and age, and be honest with you, in my house, it still goes that way. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I tell people all the time, I'm going to give you a little lesson of this in life. If a five-year-old child that's this tall tells you no, he already punking you. I didn't go over too well, but I'm just being honest. You got a five-year-old kid going to tell you no. You got a two-year-old kid. We were on that plane there, and I mean, there were two kids on that plane that I really believe was a terroristic threat to the community because they just cut up, and you got these parents that look and say, I just don't know what to do. I'm doing the best that I can. No, you're not doing the best that you can because you can't snatch that kid. There are ways you can hold a child and inflict pain without leaving much of a mark. Trust me, I know. And if you want to know how to do it, I can show you very well. But, I mean, them kids were just acting up. Them kids were just, I mean, just going crazy there. And, I mean, I just thank God that I was all the way back in the role that I was in. I thank the Lord about that because if it was up to me, I would seriously probably be locked up and I probably wouldn't have made it here. And, I mean, seriously. And I understand kids are kids. But there's a difference between a child. I tell my wife all the time, you don't whoop a child for being a child. Whoop a child for being rebellious. Childs do foolish things. And you know what? We as adults do foolish things. Amen? And you don't whoop a child for just, you know, honestly, if you whoop that child because that child embarrassed you, you was already embarrassed. You really was. You was already embarrassed. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't whoop a child for being a child. You whoop a child for being rebellious. You have a child, when you tell that child to do something, that child looks at you like they don't understand a word you're talking about. Now, that's when you deal with, but I'm just telling you, we live in a society that incites rebellion. We live in a society that just do what you want to do when you want to do it. I mean, we were talking about this thing here, and me and Brother Spurgeon have been on both sides of the fence. Let me explain something to you. If a police officer stops you, if you want to try that police officer, whatever happens is your fault. I'm sorry. I was a criminal. And in my criminal days, we had rules. We understood if we fought the police, whatever happened, happened. And I mean, don't understand something. The people, the organization I was in, even though the town that I came out of, they were federally indicted. Some of them hit death row. I'm not talking about some street punk on the corner. I'm talking about people that were federally indicted, was on death row for murder, was indicted by the FBI and the DA. I'm talking about that type of crowd. And we understood one thing. Now, we did fight them. Whatever happened, happened. But back in the day, I mean, seriously, it was just an understanding. They whooped us, we whooped them, whatever happened, happened. Soon as they called back up, they hauled us all to jail, everything was good. If you got a couple of broken bones, you just got a couple of broken bones. You didn't get a lawyer, you didn't call a lawyer, you got mended up, and you went to prison. Now we live in the day and age, you can fight the police, now you got to call a lawyer. Like they did something wrong. I said it, and I meant it. And you go, you say, well, it was a race issue. I don't care. You black or white. They break in your house, and you going to ask what color they is. If you going to ask a man, they're a black man. Well, if you black man, if you black, and you break in my house, you ain't can't bring him up because you black. See what he tell you. You think he going to break in house because you black? See what he tell you. You're a nice white guy. I won't break in your house. I don't care if they white, they black, they coming to my house, they going to die. It is just, I'm not going to ask them what color you are. I don't care what color you are. I told this guy a long time ago, because he kept always telling me, a preacher kept always telling me where he was from. And I just used to hate that. Used to get on my nerves. And I told him one day, let me tell you something. I got a .45 caliber. Amen. I actually got 9mm. I bought 7.62x51. I got 7.32x3. I got a lot of them. And let me tell you something, when I pull that trigger, it is not going to ask me, is that a Michigan brother? Is that a New York brother? It's going to say, that's a dead brother. I promise you that. None of them bullets that I've ever shot ever asked me, what are you shooting at? Do we really want to do it? All they know is there's a firing pin, there's a triggering mechanism, and there is a hammer. And when I pull that thing back, you got to line the first sight with the sight over here. You line that middle sight up, it touches that one. They line up three ways, and it hits the target. And they never asked me the color of their skin, and nor do I even care. I didn't care then, and I don't care now. All I care about is that woman right there, that boy right there, that girl right there. All I care about is my home. All I care about, and don't worry, I would ask them, if you die right now, do you know where your soul is going to go? Because I guarantee you that where I hit you, you're going to bleed out. You said that ain't very loving. That ain't about love. I love hurt. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something. See, we live in a day and age where now there's people think that I can incite a riot, I can incite a crime, I can incite something. But see, and then people will get mad and say, I can't believe they did that. You won't feel that way if they broke into your home. I promise you that. You say, how can you say that? Because where I came from. And the people that I came from and ruled and ran with and the things we did. Let me tell you something. I know what a human being on the other side of the fence, no matter what color skin they are capable of doing. You have no idea if you are so sympathetic to a criminal, you have no idea of the damage one human being can do to another human being. You have no idea the mentality that a man can do, or even a woman set to a certain direction can do to somebody when they choose to break into your house. And I hope by God's grace you never do. But I'm sorry. And I understand there's some bad police officers. I've met bad police officers. I've met illegal police officers. I understand all that. I'm not arguing that. But I'm telling you this right now. If you are sympathetic Does somebody, and by the way, since I'm making some of you mad, I was again, what that police officer did, because every time I tell him, I'm going to Minneapolis, you're going to Minneapolis? That's where they killed George Floyd. You're going there? Do you not understand what they're going to do to you? What are they going to do to me? I'm saying, I'm doing my job. You're going to Minneapolis? Boy, they killed George Floyd. What is you doing? I'm going to go preach. Why? I understand this truth. That police officer shouldn't have did that. He shouldn't have. He did it out of pride. But you don't make that man a hero. Where I came from, even a criminal understood you don't make a criminal a hero. Even we understood that back then. We live in a day and age. If you got mentality, people don't understand that. A hero is not a criminal. Amen? That is not a hero. Seriously, a hero is someone that cares about others. A hero is someone that put others before themselves. A hero is somebody that will give his life to save another person's life, not break a crime, to hurt and injure another person, not take somebody else's car, not hold somebody a knife to somebody's throat because they want something from them, not caring about somebody else. That is not a hero. And in case you're wondering, I don't usually tell this story that much. I've been on both sides of the fence. When I went to the U.S. military, I was a criminal. They then be on a criminal drug waiver. You know what? The district attorney said if he would leave town and leave the gang, we would drop the charges. I said, I'll take that deal. I didn't even go in there trying to be a hero. I didn't. I went in there because I was just tired of the drug dealing. I was tired of the gunfights. I was tired of the broken bones. I was tired of running for my stinking life. I got sick and tired of it. And I said, Lord, if there's another way, I wasn't even saved. If there's another way, you get me out of this mess. I promise you I'll make a change. And the United States Navy said, we'll take a chance on them. I had to go in front of them. I had to give a whole essay. Why do you want to get out? Why do you want to leave here? I thought that was obvious. I really did. I thought it was obvious, but I had to go in front of them folks and just explain why. But I'll tell you this other half of the story. I don't even tell this story much. When I got into the United States military, I got recruited. It was a long story. But I got recruited overseas to work for the government doing other things. I did. I'm not making this up. I don't talk about it much. It was over 30 years ago. And you know what? I said these words as I sat down there, and they told me, so look, you know, whatever you do, whatever you're going to do, nobody will ever know your name. You'll be a number. Your whole thing, your whole essay be put on the vault in the United States military in Washington, D.C., in the vault. And part of me knew I was going to die. I was risking my life, to be honest. I didn't even think an eye at it. I said, well, I did wrong. Might as well do right. So I joined. I did. And I worked for them. I did. I never cared about my life. All I cared about was just trying to make a difference. It was actually that. We were on an operation, and actually it was a undercover agent, Norfolk undercover agent. And he said, you know what? I said, not too many people volunteer for this stuff. Exactly what I told him. I said, well, I've hurt a lot of people, and I did a lot of wrong things. I just feel I can make a difference. And he said, United States military, no, he said, the U.S. federal government cannot give you the forgiveness you're looking for. Only God can. Amen. And that was the beginning of me getting under conviction. And about 3 months later, I was in Norfolk, Virginia, kneeling down in the Baptist church saying, Lord, save my soul. I'm a sinner. I never understood. I never even got to thank that man. I don't even remember who he was. But when I get to heaven, I want to look for him. I want to say thank you. And you know what? When I worked on both sides of the fence, I found out it was bad guys on the good side, bad guys on the bad side. So it really don't matter. You see, you don't understand, all of you in this room, they make it a race issue. But it really is an issue of right and wrong. That's all it really is. It's an issue of what's right and what's wrong. You see, what they understand is if I get the white people mad, the black people mad, the white people, you won't care what's going on. The only thing you care about, well, them black people acting up. Well, them white people acting up. Well, them black people acting up. And you don't know which side is which, which side is up, which side is down. And the only thing you got to understand is if you stop and think about something and stop and get a hold of yourself, you would realize it ain't about that color of that person's skin, but about what's right, what's wrong in that situation. But a lot of people don't think like that. I remember Sam Gibb came down to our church. I remember he came down to our church there, and he said, he told our church this, and we thought that was crazy. He said, you know what's wrong with all you black people? We got mostly black church. Baby. We all black church. And he said, what's wrong with you black people? We all looking like we're crazy. Although, what you about to say now? He said, what's wrong with all you black people is this. This is what's wrong with you. I tell you what's wrong with you. You won't let the news media tell you how to think. That's right. Amen. CNN don't rile us up. Fox News don't rile us up. Have them lying anyway. They really are. And I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you this much, some of you ain't going to like this, but you know the whole issue of a prejudiced person is that you have paranoia and dislike based off the color of one's skin or gender. So if you're black people that automatically think they're racist because they're white, that makes you racist. It does. I was taught that. I was taught not to trust white people before I got saved. As a matter of fact, you want to get down dirty, I was a black Muslim before I got saved. That's why the U.S. government recruited me for an operation. That's why they recruited me, because I was a black Muslim. I was Islamic, Sunni, converted Muslim before I got saved. And you know what? I was taught that I was taught a certain thing, a certain way. And it wasn't because my family were Christian. I got initiated into that mess. They didn't like when I got saved either. You say, well, where are we getting at? I was taught to hate white people. Well, got a little quiet right there. I don't hate you now. You ain't got to worry about it. Besides, I couldn't bring none of my guns anyway. I had to take a plane up here. Now, if you was packing the way we usually pack it, you might need to worry about something. But since we told you unknown, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You ain't got nothing to worry about anyway. But no, for real, I was taught that. I was taught not to trust white people at all. And beyond which, I met some racist white people, just didn't like the color of my skin. And I really did. There's some out there, but there's some black people out there that are racist, just as racist as a white person. And you know what the crazy part about it is that there's some women that hate men because they're men. Don't make no sense of that either. I mean, any man takes any type of authority, you raise your voice, you actually give an order in your home, oh, what call? Oh, he's just an evil heathen. Oh, he's so mean. You wimp. I'm just telling you about authority, about rebellion. We live in a society that woman can run her mouth all day long. She can be opinionated all day long. She can say what she wants to say all day long. But let that man say something. Oh, well, he's just such a male chauvinist. When a woman runs her mouth, oh, she's just asserting her femininity. She's just a diva. When I was growing up, you called her a witch. You really did. I'm serious. And I understand men could be morons, but I'll tell you something, ladies, I'll tell you something. You say, you might think your man ain't got common sense, which might be true. Just being honest. There's some men that ain't got much common sense, seriously. And I'll tell you this right now, man, since I'm making all you mad, I done made black people mad, white people mad, now the women mad, now the men gonna get mad. Man, I'm just batting 100 on this one, buddy. Hey, man. But hey, but if you got mad at me, I got just one question. Did I lie? You got mad at me? And let me tell you something. All you people down there, let me explain something to you. You can't tell me nothing on this issue. Because like I said, I grew on both sides of the fence. I know I didn't see people die. And that ain't a fun thing. I'm serious. You don't understand what a human being can do to another human being. You don't understand the evil that's out there. And we live in a day and age where that evil is getting stronger and stronger, where they believe you do what you want to do when you want to do it. I mean, see, I'm serious. Look, like I said, I was a criminal first starting off, a real criminal first starting off. I ran with criminal first starting off. She's been back home with my family. She knows that I'm not making this stuff up. And I'm saying that gang ran at least over 20 to 30 members. And I mean, it was only less than 10 of us that actually made it out, that didn't actually go to death row, the federal penitentiary, or 20 life in the pen, or died, literally, gunned down in the street. I don't say that because I'm proud. I say that because you don't understand. I've been on both sides of the fence. I have been beat down by the police. I have been put into a very bad position by the police. I know bad police and I know good police, but the one thing I do know, I know criminals. And I tell you this right now, whether you like it or not, you got somebody that just mad because they get pulled over, you got a problem. You got somebody that can go commit a crime, please show up, and they think, I can go fight somebody, I can do what I want to do, and if you shoot me or hurt me, let me explain something to you. Like I said, he shouldn't have killed George Floyd like that. He was wrong. It was his pride. He wasn't going to back down, and he going to get what he deserved. That ain't even an issue. But you better understand them. You may need that police officer one day. And you make that phone call, they say, well, we can't come out there. It's too much riding. It's too much complaining. You're going to see how you feel. Seriously, I've had people break into my house. It didn't feel too good when they took my guns, my computer, my wife's stuff, and our money. I didn't care what color skin they was. All I know is I wanted them to go to jail. But you want to know what happened after they broke in my house the first time? I knew they was coming back, and they didn't get everything. They didn't get everything. And one day, a week later, they came back because they wanted the rest of the stuff they had. And I saw them in my backyard, and I said, son, go get my gun now. And my son ran, got my shotgun, and I went out there at him. And I was down, I'm saying, I was literally chasing him down the street with my shotgun. And everybody looked at me like, I didn't care. They broke into my house, and something bad was going to happen. Well, then I finally realized I'm going to jail. So I stopped, look around, and walked back. I walk in there, put my gun up, call the police, say, officer, they try to break in my house, and I'm just letting you know you're going to get a couple of phone calls. I chase them down the road with my shotgun. They say, well, Mr. Carter, do you have your gun out now? No, sir, I do not. No, ma'am, I do not. Well, I did put it up, and they know it now. And they came in, they gave me a whole bunch of lectures, said, I can't believe you did that. You broke the law. And the police officer said, sir, I said, this is what I said. So, sir, they broke into my house last week. I said, they stole a lot of guns and a lot of ammunition. And I said, how do I know they didn't bring it back to use it on me to get more stuff? I said, so, sir, I'm sorry, I just lost it. And the police officer was standing right there. He is absolutely right, because I was here when they took all this stuff. And you don't know what they was going to bring back. You know that sergeant backed down? He said, well, sir, next time, whatever you got to do, do it inside the house. I said, yes, sir, I certainly will next time. So next time I'll wait until they come in, and then I'll do business. That's what you really do. But I'm just telling you this right now. I understand that there are, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say this, and some of you ain't going to like this. The problem ain't really as much as race. A lot of them police officers, you know what the problem is? They watch a lot of them movies of them killing each other, blowing each other's brains out, shooting each other, and they get hyped up on that stuff, and they just ready, and they think they Rambo. And the first chance they get, they go for a trigger. Because I'm serious. Because we live in that day and age where the first chance you get, the first thing you get. Let me explain something to you. I've been in shootouts. It ain't like the movies. I've been shot before. It ain't like the movies. When you get hit, you go down. You don't get back up. You don't come back for a part two, next rerun of a movie. It hurts. Flames, sparks come out. It don't feel too good. You cry a little bit, to be honest. I mean, I've had friends get point blank range, shot straight in the stomach. They only shed one tear, but they still wasn't getting up walking around either. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that don't let the news media, don't let this world, and don't let the mistakes of other people get you to incite an attitude. Because all they're trying to do is get you riled up and get you upset so you won't think, no matter what color skin you are. So you just get angry and mad. You even know why you're angry and mad. Some of you didn't like what I said, and I'm black. Amen. Amen. Last time I checked, I was black. Ain't a white bone in my body. I'm not ashamed of it. Actually, I like it. Amen. You say, well, I just don't like what you said. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care.
I like it.
That's because you white. No, I'm saying, if you come to my church, they tell you the same thing. You come to my church, and ain't no white person in our church. We just, I mean, just be the word of God. Hey, to tell you this, God does not like rebellion.
Amen.
I mean, that's why I'm about to preach a little bit tonight. I got to get away. I done chase this rabbit. I ain't got much points to preach on, but I'm going to hit a couple of them, then I'm going to sit down. But my one thing I have to understand is God just don't like rebellion. He don't like rebellion in a wife. He don't like rebellion. And let me tell you something, men. I'm going to tell you this right now so I can get ahead. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you are a man that want to do something for God, I'm going to tell you this right now. You want to do something for God, why don't you get behind a man that's been doing it a lot longer than you have and go listen to that man? No matter what color that skin that man is, it don't matter if that man always will say something you don't like. Do not go to your house. The same authority that God gave you to be the head of your home is the same authority that God gave you to obey the laws of the land, to listen to your pastor, to obey the word of God, is the same authority. Don't claim authority. We don't want to submit to God's authority. I can't stand that in a man. Man, I'm the head of my home. Yeah, you is the head of home. That's why your home is wrecked now. For real. It takes time for some men to just be able to calm yourself down. It don't hurt your manhood. And you know what? It's never worked in my marriage. Ladies, you ever said this to your husband? You the head of the home. Why you listen to him? I had to tell you this. It never worked on me when it came to my wife. You know why? They got nothing to do with my manhood. That don't hurt my manhood. That don't prove nothing. Well, ain't you the head of the home? Yeah, that's why I'm doing what's best for my house. So that's why I prayed and listened to my pastor. If you get affected by that, then you are not a man. Because a real man ain't worried about his manhood. Real man ain't worried about it. A real man ain't worried about backing down if he's wrong. Real men don't worry about that. That's a real man. Now, a man that's trying to be a man, he got to prove how right he is. He ain't going to back down for nothing. He don't even care if it's right or wrong. All he care about is he got to be right. A real man cares enough about his home that if this is the right thing to do, it don't matter what I think. We just gonna do what the right thing to do is. And it don't matter what somebody else thinks. You say, but call your wife ever been right? Yes, she. You know who really makes it right? Whoever taking God's side. That's what's really right. It's who takes God's side. Amen. It don't matter if it, I really don't go well with brethren. The man is always right. He's the head of the home. Where do you get that lie from? I'm always trying to figure that out. Where do you get that lie from? Oh, he's got to be right. He's the head of the home. Or the devil is a lie. Just because you the head of the home don't make you always right. It really don't. You know, there's been times my kid has been right. Imagine that. And I wouldn't have told my kid, you know what? I'm sorry. Real leadership is only concerned with what is right. They're not concerned about their ego. They're not concerned about their manhood. They're only concerned about what is right. That's real leadership. I mean, what are you concerned with this evening? Are you concerned with your pride? You see, you understand the reason why I said all that stuff is this. You know where that gang got me? It got me homeless on the street. It really did. It was a famine that took me in. I ended up going into the military. Do you understand that sometimes I've been so hard-headed, I've ruined my life? Just stubborn. Self-willed. I'm not going to back down. Amen? That stuff, you know what? Hard-headed men do not impress me. Me and him's been down the same road. I've had a gun put to my head like this and pulled the trigger. So what'd you do? I duck and ran. I just said, pow, ho, there. On the wrong side of the fence. I took on 15 guys at the same time. What happened? I got beat down. On the wrong side of the fence. And God up and still kept running my mouth. You think that's impressive? That means absolutely nothing. But you take a man that's wept and cried with his wife, faced cancer, faced a broken heart, and still kept going. When you felt like God did you wrong, where it just wasn't fair, some of the things that God let bring into your life, and took that woman's hand and prayed and said, come high and low water. We're just going to keep going. That's manhood. What took the rebuke and took the bad words. When I mean bad words, I'm talking about just somebody getting in your face and just telling you like it is when you just didn't like it because your wife is sitting right there and you can't look like you're a punk. But take your wife by the hand and say, we're going to get this thing right. We're just going to go on for God. Because in the end, in the very end of it all, one day, whether you're saved or lost, you're going to face a holy God on the white throne of judgment or the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what all that's going to even matter is what God really thought. That's all that's going to matter. That's what God thought. You see, real manhood now, is a man that will follow the real man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I thought you was preaching on rebellion. I'm going to show you something, and I'm done. In Genesis chapter 13, no, I'm sorry, go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 here, I had a whole message, but I guess God didn't want me to do it like that. In Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to show you something here. In Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. The earth was not form and void. And the void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And it divided the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning was the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth be I bring forth the grass and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself in the earth. And it was so. And the earth was brought forth grass on the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. Now watch this. In the evening and the morning was the third day. Now that's the first time in the whole Bible where the word God was omitted out. First time. And it's in verse 13. Now, like I said, I had a whole message. I'm going to just do this real fast because I got to wrap this down so the real preacher can come. Because I'm going to get out of the way. But if you go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, it says something interesting. The man of Sodom wicked exceeding the Lord exceedingly. But I kind of challenge you to do this. Challenge you to do this. If you go to that verse over there, in fact, go over there. Look, I want to show you something real fast. I got to hurry this up. I done preached enough, but I got to just hurry this up. Go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, about this thing about rebellion. Genesis chapter 13, and verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sins before the Lord exceedingly. Now that's 13. You say, what's the big about 13? Well, Jesus Iscariot had 13 letters in his name. Amen. There's 13 sins in your heart. Amen. And then in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, it says, talking about the word Sodom, which is sodomy, which is homosexuality. Well, I'll tell you something interesting. You know there's 13 words in that verse? That's 13 times 3. It's 13 words in that verse. You know, over in John chapter 13, Judas Iscariot betrays the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 13. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 13, he's given a sop. S-O-P, son of perdition. And he says, things you got to go and do it. He goes, betrays the Lord. That's in 13. See, 13 is a bad number, is what I'm trying to get you to understand. 13 is a bad number, just like 5 is the number of death, but 13 is the number of rebellion. Now, the interesting thing about this, I'll show you something else interesting about it. Over there in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we all know it. Stephen, he gets preaching, and Stephen gets stoned, okay? And Stephen, he's preached his whole message to Israel. Now, we all know this. Your pastor already said it. In the Old Testament, they reject God the Father. End up in apostasy, end up in ruin, end up in captivity. They reject God the Father. In the four Gospels, they reject God the Son, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. God the Son shows up, they reject him, he gets crucified. But then in the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts, they're preaching at Israel that they crucified their Messiah, and then Stephen shows up in Acts chapter 7. He preaches one last message, and he dies. So what's the big deal? There's no 13 in that. It's 60 verses in there. 7 plus 6 plus 0, last time I checked, was 13. Could be just coincidence. I don't know. Now, I got more, but I got to get out this way. But in the very first chapter I just showed you, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 13, God doesn't there. And you know what that means? The greatest form of rebellion is you keep doing it your way and don't mention God at all. In Laodicean church, I'll show you something. In Laodicean church, go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Go to Revelation chapter 4 and look at this thing about the Laodicean church in Revelation. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, and let's look at this thing here. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Now, he doesn't like this church. Now, here's what this church is about. Because they say as I am rich, they're a covetous church, a materialistic church, and increased with goods. Now here's the thing, and have need of nothing. They just don't need nothing, including God. And over in Luke chapter 19, the Lord gives a story about his return. And he says these words, the good man goes away. And they say this, we would not have this man that ran over us. He says he comes back and he ain't happy. See, what's the greatest form of rebellion? Just don't make God out. Just your opinion matters. You know what? I challenge you to do this. If anybody in this room, you didn't like what I said, you thought I was so wrong, why don't you just go to God and say that what he said was wrong? But if he was right, why don't you show me? But you know what? Most people ain't going to do that. You know, they'll rather call their family and their friends and say, this is what somebody said. What do you think? I tell my church all the time, if you don't like it, why don't you just go ask God about it? How many times have you ever said, well, man, that preacher really said something wrong. I'm going to go to altar and tell on him. That preacher really said something wrong. I'm going to go to the altar and tell on him. I'm going to go to the altar right now and tell him. But brothers, I like what Brother Spurgeon said. He was wrong. He was unscriptural. And you know what? I think I need to tell God on him. But how many of you go call your mom, your daddy, your co-worker, your cousin, your Facebook friend, and you tell them about it? Why don't you just go tell God? You see, you know why you won't tell God? Because you really couldn't care less if God thought it was right or wrong. You just want finding somebody just to agree with you because you just don't like what was said. And if you think I'm making this up, do I say that all the time in my church? Do I tell people all the time? Do I do it? I go tell God in a heartbeat. And sometimes God says, you know what, that was wrong. Sometimes God says, most of the time, 80% of the time, no, they're right, you're wrong, you just don't like it. But God just might tell you one day, you're right. Maybe. 9 out of 10, it ain't going to happen. What I'm trying to tell you as church is this about rebellion. The greatest form of rebellion is your independent, self-thinking, self-opinionated, self just everything attitude and not be totally dependent on the God that created you and saved your soul. Amen. That is the greatest. Every form of rebellion derives from that attitude. It's my life, my happiness, my opinion. And I got this question for you. How many times have you satisfied yourself? You ever, I'm wrapping this up, I'm done. But you ever said this, if I just had this thing, I'll be happy? And when you got it, you wasn't happy after a while? The greatest form of human nature on that end is Christmas morning for a child. They get the toy. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's just what they asked for. You even went in debt getting it. And sooner or later, depending on their age factor and what it was you bought, it's forgot about before next Christmas. Because you know why? Hell and destruction is never full, and the eyes of men are never satisfied. What you don't understand, this movement that is going on now is derived from this idea, what I want, if I want to be gay, if I'm a boy, I want to be a girl. If I'm a man, I want to be a woman. If I don't want to stop for the police, if I want to break into your house, or if I run you off the road, that police officer shouldn't say nothing to me, is derived from that idea. Is the idea of I'm God, and what I say should go. And it does not matter if I infringe on your rights. It only matters is about my rights. That is the whole idea. The problem is some people don't care until it infringes on their rights. The problem is, I understand the truth that you don't. I've seen anarchy. I've seen what a ruler's person that can't be ruled, I've seen what they can do. And I don't like it. I don't like it. You don't understand. In the world that I've lived, and the stuff that I've seen, I wish I never had. But I can't change my life. I can only change my future. But I hope some of you young people never have to see it. And I understand this one thing. There's some bad people out there. I don't care what color skin they is. And I understand this one thing. To come to my house, they're going to die. No qualms about it. I don't care. You say, well, that's just mean. No, what's mean is that what they want to do to my family. Because I know what somebody's capable of doing to another human being. That's what you don't understand. And it ain't worth the risk. I'll never forget it. I'm in with the story. It was a man. broke into somebody's house. He robbed them and took their child. He did. It's a true story. He took their child. Just a young couple. I don't know if they was even married. It don't even matter. That was their child. They didn't want no trouble. As a matter of fact, the truth of the matter is they were both black. They were black. He was black. He took the child. And I took the child. And don't matter if they were white. But just I'm just telling you, that's just a story. Don't get me wrong. A lot of white people hate people and do bad stuff too. So that ain't even an issue. But he took the child. He didn't care nothing about it. He took the child. He killed that child. I always remember this at that court. At that court. That whole family jumped on that man and just beat him down. And as they beat that man, I thought just one word, and never bring that child back. And that father has to look into his mama's eyes, his baby mama's eyes. And any man will always wish this, I wish I had did something. In the court, I mean, he probably went to prison. He probably got what he got deserved. But won't bring that child back. It won't bring the life of that little baby girl back. She was a sweet little girl, for what I understand. She was a precious thing. Just innocent. And that family, they didn't do nothing wrong. Just a man decided to break into their house. And they beat that man in court. And the police got all involved and everything. But it don't matter. That child still died. And you know what? I wouldn't want to live with that in my family. That's why I am the way I am. About stuff like that. Because like I said, I've been to places. I've did things. I ain't proud of them. But I know one thing, when man loses control, you don't know the evil that man can do. And we are heading for that society. We are heading for a society of lawlessness. We're heading for a society that fled. The only thing, let me explain something to you. Your flesh, my flesh, uncontrolled is evil. It is unruled. It is uncontrollable. And you're facing a society that says, you know what? If he kills somebody, he shouldn't go to death row. I mean, after all, does he deserve to die? Yes. And I got friends that was on death row. Good friends. And guess what? They deserve to die. And I love them. But it don't change nothing. They took innocent lives. Some of them by accident, shooting at the wrong person. And they still killed somebody else's child. Some of them killed an enemy, but they still killed them. Maybe it wasn't self-defense. I didn't tell y'all this to be something. I told you this because don't let the society that they're trying to derive, it's a society that every man should do what's right in his own eyes. Just like the book of Judges. And you read that thing there, it is full of anarchy. It is full of murder. It is full of rape. It is full of sodomy. And that is exactly what the society that the politicians of this world, they want. Because they want to live their life the way they want to live it. And they don't want nothing stopping them. But you got to understand this one thing. There is something called an Antichrist that's coming. And even though he's promising them freedom, he's going to rule them. They got to take a mark. And let me ask you this question. If you're lost in this room, you're heading to that society. Society of anarchy and sorcery, drug use, and unlimited abuse and fornication. Of sodomy and insanity. And I've seen insane people. And they're making a whole society, a whole school full of them. Do you really want to be a part of that? Because that's exactly what's going on. Do you really want that for your children? Then why don't you make a promise if you're saved to fight against it? Why don't you make a promise if you're saved to stand against it? Don't be a part of the rebellion. And I'm not saying any politician's right. I hate to tell you this, the Republican Party is wicked too. I hate to tell you that. I know you want to think Democratic Party is wicked. No, Republican Party wicked. Independent Party wicked. They all wicked. But some more wicked than others. And that Democratic Party, what they want is pure evil. Whether you want to hear it or not, it's just truth. And she'll tell you right there, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not even independent. I vote for the best vote I can get, not because of the color of my skin, but what is right. Amen. And I'm telling you this right now, don't be a part of the rebellion. Amen. And you men, I'm ending with this, you'll never be a man until you learn to submit to a man that's been where you're not been. Seriously. That man, sir, you was in the Marine Corps, weren't you? Sir, you was in the Marine Corps, weren't you? They trained you to be a soldier, didn't they? When you got there, was you a soldier yet? You wasn't until they trained you. And you had to go under a man that told you stuff you didn't like, did you? But he trained you to be a soldier, didn't you? There's your trainer. There's your soldier. Amen. There's your trainer. There's your soldier. Me, I'm just passing through.